Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So good, so good. As you can see, this looks a little bit different. And today is something called Marketplace Sunday. Now, what is that? I guess it came from a conversation I was having with the Lord, and the Lord just really began to weigh it deeply on my heart of just His heart to see us far more activated in our workplace, where we spend majority of our time. And so we're gonna have conversations about that today. But I also know it's not just for the workplace, it's for our entire lives. But and so I began to have this conversation. Okay, God, yeah, I want to see You moving in the workplace. I want to see our hearts stirred for that. But I'm not in the workplace. Like I'm with church people. And, you know, it would be awkward if I was getting up here and telling testimonies of church staff getting saved. Because hopefully if they're working for church, they already love the Lord, right? And so God said, well, use people in our church. They're incredible men and women of God in this church that are active in their workplace, that are seeing God do incredible things in the marketplace. And so we're going to hear from some of them today. But what's so important to me, and I want to encourage you to lean in and have an expectation today. There's already faith in the room. There's an incredible time of worship. But these guys are going to share some of the convictions, some of the testimonies that, and the things that God has done in them and through them. But I don't want us just to have a good chat today, right? I want to land this on a time of impartation, right? So I want to anoint you. I want to lay hands and see you guys prayed for to make an impact in your marketplace. So we're going to chat, but then we're going to say, Holy Spirit, we want You to come. We want You to pour out. We want You to minister because we want to see You moving in our workplaces, in our spheres of influence, in our across our lives, not just in the house, but outside the house. Amen? We're up for that? So good. Well, why don't I bring out my team, my panel? Why don't you put your hands together for Grant, Ernie, and Kaven? Come on out, guys. Here we go. The dream team. All right, let me introduce them one by one. We have Kaven Lamb right here. Kaven is, we can clap, we can say hi, whatever works. Kaven is married to Yiling and father of Jiren and Micah, teenage boys, or Jiren's a young adult now. So, you know, we're kind of out of that crazy season. We won't go into that. But both elders, you and Yiling, are elders in our church since the start of this year. An incredible blessing to myself. Now, from what I've heard, you are the best in your field in the medical profession. Can you tell us about what you do for work?
Bro, I thought I was going last. You're making me really nervous. Shane told me to do my hair before I came.
So. Yeah. You look great.
So I'm a thoracic interventional radiologist.
Hang on, wait. So a what?
Let me play that backwards at 0.5 for you. So a radiologist is a medical specialist who uses CT scans or CAT scans, X-rays, ultrasounds, MRIs to diagnose conditions. The thoracic part of my job is I specialise in working on things inside the chest, mainly lungs. Interventional means I do a lot of procedures to help diagnose and treat conditions inside the lungs, mainly under the CAT scan machine guidance.
Amazing. There we go. Thoracic interventional radiologist. Got it. Easy peasy. Awesome. We'll keep on moving. Then we have Ernest Yeo, married to Sarah, the wonderful Sarah, father of Eve, Jack, Lucy, and Grace, is an incredible dentist. See, look at that, looks good. And a business owner at that too, running incredible dentist practice, as well as dabbling investment homes, all sorts of things. That's a lot on your plate, Ernie.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Praise God. And then down the end there, we have Grant. So Grant is married to Lauren and father of Esther. They're in Kids Church at the moment. You guys are incredible network leaders in our church, really trusted members in our congregation. And Tam and I are both blessed by the heart that you carry. I know you guys are very passionate about reaching people in your world, your neighbours and everything, and you actively do so in your spheres. But on top of that, you also work for McCrindle Research. So can you tell us what that looks like?
Sure. I feel very unmedical here.
Hang on. Is that one on? Can we hear?
It's on.
Hello? We coming? You can hear us? Well, you hear him?
Oh, okay, I'm sitting next to my dentist. And thankfully, I've not had reason to go seek him before. Yeah, thanks, Shan. So, yeah, the company I work in, McCrindle Research, we're a social research company. So I could explain it this way. Historians study the past and they look at how people and societies have changed because they're trying to understand, well, how do we get to where we are now? In our work, we study how people and societies are changing because we want to know, well, where's the world going? And what does this all mean for people who are looking to lead into the future?
So good. Tell us a bit more. Like, so you have a scripture that you love, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so if I'm speaking to a Christian audience, I might say, well, in the book of Chronicles, there's this kind of little throwaway line, refers to the men of Issachar or the sons of Issachar. And it says they knew the times and helped Israel to understand what to do. And that's my prayer for the work that we do. Is it's not just using man's wisdom, but it's using God's wisdom to say, how do we understand the times we live in? And what does that mean for all of us who are trying to live, work, and to live well? But actually, as a Christian, how do we live well God's way and encourage other people to do the same?
Amazing. I mean, see, Grant carries an incredible heart for relational evangelism, but also he's now got this research that we're going to talk a little bit about now that kind of helps us maybe debunk some walls or things that we've put in the way that stopped us from reaching those around us. Let's talk a little bit about the openness of people willing to be invited to church or have spiritual conversations, even the environments they're most open to doing that in. Bring us in on some of the research that you guys have been doing that summarizes this.
I bet you didn't think you were coming to church to hear a research presentation. It's all right. It's not a presentation this morning. But most of the work we do is for a business context. So that's generally how the context we're operating in. But we do also, we have done a number of large-scale national studies to understand, well, what is the spiritual climate of Australia at the moment? And how is that changing? Like, what do people think about the church, about God? Like, really, like, let's actually just go to people, not just take it from the media. Great. And so, yeah, like, how people behaving, what do they believe, what do they think? And so in our latest study, a national study, and this is all online public, so you can look it up later if you're really interested. But, we spoke to Australians, like, across the country, and half of people, when we asked them, like, in terms of having a spiritual conversation, like, if you were, would you be open to having a conversation about spiritual beliefs that were different to your own even? And we found half of people said, actually, I'm extremely open or I'm very open to that kind
Amazing.
Of conversation.
50%.
And I think that's probably not what people expect. Because I think we're told all the time, oh, people aren't interested and, you know, people have moved on from religion. Actually, the data shows that is not the case at all.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Tell us also about the idea of attending a church service.
Yeah, so in the same study, we asked people a whole bunch of things because we're just trying to understand where are people at. And so we asked them that question about openness. We also asked them, well, if you were invited by a friend or a family member to a church service, like, would you attend? And actually, 2 out of 3 Australians said, I'd be at least open to that.
Wow.
2 out of 3.
Yeah, that's so good.
So again, I think... in my experience, often as Christians, we're our own worst enemies. Yeah. When it comes to the things we assume people believe or that they, oh, no, they're not interested, they're not open. But if you needed any backing, the data says, actually, go for it.
Yeah, come on.
Talk to people about, like, ask questions, invite them to church.
Yeah.
I'm not promising everyone's going to say yes, but actually, the stats are in your favor.
Yeah. Incredible.
And you never know what conversation that might open up.
Wow, so people are actually far more open to talking about the things of God, the idea of church, than we maybe typically think, oh, I'm going to get shut down if I say something, or there's no way they want to come. Well, no, probably not. Like, it's more likely that they will. That's incredible. Grant, you and I believe that really the workplace is more important, maybe now, more than ever in an outreach context. Can you speak a bit into that?
Yeah, sure. So it is something I'm very passionate about, and I mean, for those of us working full-time, we spend more than a third of our lives at work. So it's a huge part of our lives.
Yeah.
And it's a huge opportunity as well. And let me tell you why it's even more of an opportunity now. Because there's kind of two reasons. So firstly, in the past, there was, like, if we wind back, say, 50 years ago, so mid-20th century, like, society in, say, Australia had some very strong social institutions that a lot of people had these connections to outside of their home, outside of their work. Things like Scouts, things like Rotary Clubs, things like community groups and associations, voluntary groups. Those were like very strong social institutions.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
really, if you look at the stats on membership and kind of connection with those things, like really the proportion of people who are connected in a meaningful way to any of those things has been steadily declining.
Yeah, wow.
And that goes for a range of other groups too. So we're at this point now when for most people, like your typical Australian, their social connections are coming from their home, their household, their family, and their workplace.
Wow.
And for people who don't go to church, that's really it for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe a sporting club.
Yeah.
So there's this void, there's this gap. And we know that there's this timeless human need for that connection and sense of belonging and meaning and purpose. And so that's a huge opportunity. And then if that wasn't enough, we also have, and you would have experienced this, I'm sure, and particularly with any younger people, because it's worse among younger people, just the challenge of loneliness today and social isolation.
So yeah.
And, you know, we've done studies on this, but there's so many out there. And they're all saying the same thing, that actually, on a lot of metrics, we're, as a society, just there's so many people feeling so lonely and isolated. So when you hold those things together, it just makes me think, gosh, if only we knew of this something that could give people a sense of meaning and purpose in life. If only we knew of a social institution that could provide genuine connection, belonging.
Yeah. Come on.
Like, oh wait, we do. It's life with God so and good. It's life in His church.
Yeah. So
and
good.
I think that's our opportunity as Christians. Yeah.
So amazing. Good. So good. Amen. Huge opportunity to build meaningful relationships with people in our workplaces. So good. Now, you talk with me a little bit about some of the changes of how people are approaching work and their workplace. Can you speak a bit into that?
Yeah, sure. So, again, for those working full-time or equivalent, like roughly a third of your life is lived at work. And even if we just take your waking hours, probably about half. So again, massive opportunity. But also, if there's any people working in HR in the room, like we could almost give you the mic and you could talk about this. But it's what we've seen the last like 10, 20, 30 years is people are looking for things from their workplace that they never used to.
Wow.
It used to be the case that for most people, it was like work was, to get my paycheck, then I'd go home and like live my life and like pursue my desires, my interests, my hobbies. But somewhere along the line, things changed. And now it seems people are really looking to their workplace to fill that gap of meaning and purpose and sense of I'm doing something that's meaningful and I'm involved and connected and I've got a sense of purpose. And that's coming through. And again, we're working mostly in a business context, so you know, not necessarily with Christian leaders. And we're hearing this from like HR leaders all over that. They're saying everyone's wanting like good workplace culture. Like we're hearing that word a lot more now. Work well-being, these terms that you didn't hear like 10, 20 years ago. Mm. And again, it's people are looking to these things from their workplace because there's a void there.
Yeah.
And as Christians, there's an opportunity there to connect with our colleagues, I think, firstly, to go, actually, there's going to be colleagues of yours who are feeling lonely, who are looking for something, and you could be part of that solution for them. There's a few kind of really interesting trends there that, to me, all inform, just highlight the importance of Christians just being as Christian in your workplace as you are right now, really.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If I hear what you're saying is people are more open to God, to spiritual conversation, to the church than we might think, and that people are searching. They're searching for meaning, for purpose, for genuine human connection. And so we as Christians have such an opportunity to play a part in that, to bring our whole self to work. Not just, I'm going to put my head down, get my job done, and get out of here. But there's an opportunity that we can see to actually make an effort to build relationship with others that is going to be those steps that lead to those kind of conversations, that lead to them, you know, wanting to pray with you, lead to them being in the house of God. And so that's so incredible. Thank you so much, Grant.
Mm. Can I share a 30-second story, actually, just something you said? So bringing your whole selves to work, that... Some of you might have heard that phrase, particularly if you're in like the kind of more corporate setting. And it's this trend of, just the way that we think about people, we want them to be authentically themselves. You hear that a lot. But actually that also creates opportunities for people of faith too. And I've actually got a friend, he works in one of those big tech companies that's, you know, those massive ones worldwide. And he was actually invited to pioneer this thing within their company called, basically to
to bring, to allow people to feel more comfortable to just bring their faith to their work too.
Oh.
And this is a secular company, and wow. they kind of said, so here's a Christian, and they got a Muslim lady too, and they said, can you guys just help us create an environment where people can feel like they can bring their faith to work?
Wow.
And this is a very secular workplace yeah. context. So I just want to encourage you, actually, again, the narrative we might tell ourselves about where the world's at, it may not actually fit with the reality.
Yeah.
So just be you at work. Like it's, so good. Yeah, this is the time to do it.
So good, so good. Hey, if you want to know more about some of this research, what we've talked about, grab Grant anytime. He comes to this church. I didn't fly him in from somewhere. otherwise, just Google McCrindle Faith, and you'll find it there.
A lot of free stuff online. Go for it.
Yeah, yeah. And also, if you want, you enjoy the beautiful sounds of Grant's voice. He's on Sunshine FM on Friday mornings talking about this stuff. So you can wow. you can jump on there too. You can put our hands together for Grant. That's amazing. Now, Ernie, I wanted to get you up here because, in my opinion, I think you're amazing at shining Jesus in your workplace, stepping out in your faith, genuinely sharing Jesus with people, and you've seen God do some really incredible things while you've got people sitting in the chair with you and all around that. Can you just share with us some of the incredible testimonies and miracles that you've seen in your workplace?
At the dentist, a lot of people don't like it. And one of the reasons is there's a lot of fear. So I read my Bible and I think, well, there's a solution to this, right?
Yep.
Perfect love is a solution to fear.
Yep.
So I'm a try and see kind of guy. So I'm like, well, let's see what perfect love does today. So we had this one person who was like gagging. Like I would look at him and he would gag. He'd be like, like it was terrible. And I couldn't do anything. And I got a schedule, I got to be on time. So I'm like, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Anyway, he's gagging so much, I actually walk out of the room. I'm going to pray for a while. So I start walking up and down the hallways praying. I come back in and he starts shaking, like his leg starts kicking uncontrollably. And I look at him and said, what is happening? And he goes, ooh, the last time this happened, I had a fit, a convulsion. And I look at him and I said, oh, I ain't wanting this today. And he starts shaking uncontrollably. So I lay hands on him and I start praying in tongues. I didn't get permission that time. There was no permission to pray for him at that moment. It was action stations, you know? And then he looks at me and he says, it's leaving now.
Wow. Come on.
Now, come on. I mean, I don't hope on. To not have many deliverances at the dental practice, to be honest with you, but that's like the first one I ever had. So then the next day I'm buying something on Facebook, okay? I'm buying tiles of all the places. And so I'm like, I'm the man to fight fear. Like, and then the guy who I'm buying these tiles from, he looks at me and he says, I can't lift these tiles into your car. I hurt my back and I can't sleep. And he starts reciting his fears about his future. He starts reciting about how he's going to retire soon and he doesn't really know what he's going to do with his life after this. He's in pain. And I said, hey, I've seen a miracle yesterday. Let me pray for you. I said, maybe can I buy the tiles first, put them in my car, and then if it gets weird, then at least I can get out of there, right? So
that's right. There's an order. There's an order to these
yeah,
things.
And I'm praying, God, show me a sign, show me a sign. And I see a picture of a stop sign. I look at him and I said, okay, it's time to pray for you. And God showed me that you got hurt at a stop sign. He starts to weep and he goes, I got hit in the back of a car at a red light, and that's how I hurt my back, and that's why I haven't been asleep for 10 years now. And I said to him, can you sense the presence of the Lord is here? So then, but I said, God told me you got to stop something. And then he starts to weep some more. He's like, I know what you're talking about.
Wow.
And then I look at him and we pray. And so we pray for him. And then that the next day he sends me a text. He goes, Ernest, I rejoice in the Lord that you know because you've healed my back and that I have slept for the first time in 10 years, you know.
Praise God, come on.
And then I have, like, I think like a couple of weeks later, I'm feeling like I'm on fire. Right? So I'm being real here. So I have this patient who's in the chair and she's nervous. She's so fearful that when I went to give the needle, she hit my hand and the needle flew out of my hand. Like, that's never happened.
I thought working at
and
church was
full on.
And
it was Friday afternoon and I was exhausted. I was like, God, help me. And then the strangest thing happened. She started to laugh uncontrollably. I have never seen anything like it. I said, what is wrong with you? And I said, this is even worse, God. Now I can't do anything. She's giggling uncontrollably. And then he said, you asked me to help you. And then I realized that that was the joy of the Lord wow. that was coming upon her.
Wow.
And I was able to do the dental treatment. And as we were waiting for the treatment to finish, I looked at her and I said, do you know what just happened to you? She said, I've never experienced such love and peace wow. and joy wow. ever.
Come on.
And I said, let me introduce you to the one who brings yeah. this peace and joy. Wow. So she then starts to share that she'd been praying to an angel. She said she'd never actually had faith, but she'd seen an angel once and prayed to it. And I said, let me tell you about the one who leads over the angels, yeah, and you can pray to this guy.
Wow.
Then she goes, can you pray for my daughter who has been struggling to have a child? And I said, absolutely. Let's see what the Lord can do. 12 months later, she comes with photos of her new grandchild. Praise God.
Praise God.
You know, like, God wants to deal with fears. And not only that, like I had an instance where a patient was so racked with anxiety, he'd been waking up with night terrors every night. Now, I asked to pray for him, and he said no. But then Jehovah Sneaky sneaks in, you know, like, and so I say, I'm going to make you a grinding guard. And as I made his grinding guard, every time I saw it, I'd lay hands on this guard and I'd say, Jesus, I declare that sweet wow. shall be your sleep. The Lord lays his servant down to sleep. I wrote the Bible verse on his box. I give it to him. And then he comes back 6 months later and he says, what did you do? I said, what? I gave you a guard. Do you wear it? And he's like, yeah, every day since then. I've never had a night terror ever since then. And that's like that miracle of like laying hands on like that cloth and giving it. Like, and the last thing that I maybe want to share, because and fear, like fear obviously limits people in all their things. I remember treating this one lady and she'd had all these medical issues and she had a terrible birth and she's scared of doctors in general. I treat her with just my love, you know, like, and hopefully God's love. I'm able to get her through treatment, but as I'm treating, I often pray under my breath in tongues, like, because I've got a mask on, can't tell what's happening anyway, and I got to concentrate, so no talking in the room, and I'm just praying, and I get a picture of a backpack. And at the end of treatment, I said, I feel like the Lord showed me you've been carrying a very heavy burden, and you need to release that backpack. And she looks at me, she goes, what do I do? And she starts crying, and I say, actually take the backpack off. So she starts to sheepishly pull off this fake backpack, wow. imaginary backpack. She lays it on the chair, and I said, draw a line in the floor with your foot. Every time when you walk over this line, you no longer carry this backpack. And she starts to cry, and she's walking down to the reception. She goes, what are you going to do with my backpack? I said, I ain't taking that. I'm ditching that. Yeah. So anyway, our God is so good. Is he not so good? He's willing to do amazing, exceedingly God. Above and all that you hope for.
Man, whose faith is stirred? That's an absolutely incredible. You know, the journey that the Lord has taken you on to bring you this place, you could probably speak for hours around that. But let me ask you a question, because I know for so many of us, we can sometimes put our faith in a box. Maybe it's in the church space, and we open it up for connect group or whatever. Like, I just love how, in every part it says, God, what do you want me to do? Or God, what's happening here? Or God, what do you want me to say? And just that incredible. So you talked to me a little bit about obedience and the role that that's played in you now walking in this space. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
God's really wacky sometimes for me. Like, you could tell that it's not really like conventional wisdom that I'd be treating these people with. And I've just learned that quick obedience really matters. Like, when you hear, just go for it.
Wow.
Because and maybe what I would say to that is the Lord gave me a dream one day, and it's and in the dream it's had the word proclaim, and the three letters P-R-O were highlighted in neon. And I woke up and I said, Lord, what's that about? And he said, as a professional, you are going to proclaim the good news to the poor. You're going to see the blind eye set free. You're going to release the captive, release the oppressed. You're going to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. But it says before that the Spirit of the Lord has to be upon you. Yeah. Now, see, that's what the trouble is that the Spirit of the Lord, he's not predictable. So the obedience is a tricky thing, because the barrier to my obedience is my mind saying, that doesn't make sense, that's not going to work out, that's going to be super embarrassing, that's really fearful, and I have to relent and put myself under submission to the Spirit and say, your way, doesn't matter what happens next, you know?
Wow, incredible.
You know, I'm going to ask, and I want you to pray that and lay hands over people at the end today. That scripture, like to as professionals, that we would go out and preach good news to the poor, lay hands on the sick, you know, and for that spirit to come on, Holy Spirit to come on. That's amazing. You know, tell us a bit about your conviction around, because not everyone, you know, you meet, you have this amazing encounter, they give their hearts to Jesus, now they're sitting here in church. Like, tell us a bit about your heart around just playing your part.
I remember that there's a great cloud of witnesses in heaven cheering us on, right? Yeah. Why are they cheering us on? Because they think we're a team. Wow. And that I've come to realize that actually, despite all these miracles you hear, often I don't get the chance to reveal the love of Jesus in a prayer to them, to introduce them to the Lord. And what I'm praying for is that the next person they walk out and see, that they will then have a word of knowledge for them. And they'll be like, wow, this is like, can't be false. This true God, actually, there is two encounters now. I really encourage you that, like, I've had two instances in the last 2 weeks where I've been praying for these clients. I've ministered to them at the work at the dental practice for years. They've come. One said to me, like, with the biggest glow on his face, he says, I've been praying 4 hours a day. And I said, what was the reason that you did that? Like, I'm hoping that he's saying, it was you, Ernest, that transformed me, you know? Like, and you know what he said? He goes, it was my friend who came and convicted me of my unbelief.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then he said, it's the Holy Spirit also, I guess, that convicts me. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. But you know what? That really is it. I'm the one who planted. There was another man who watered. But it's the Holy Spirit, God, who makes it grow. That's it, yeah.
So good. That's it. No one's asking you to be this superhero that comes in, has one conversation with someone, they drop to their knees, God, I'm all in. Like, we play our part, we plant, we water, we maybe you're the one that gets to do the harvest and lead them in that, whatever that may be. And I love that, Ernie, because just like you said, you might go to the dentist and suddenly the dentist has prayed for you, and you come out and you go to the coffee shop and someone then has said, hey, do you know Jesus loves you? Or, and then you've gone across to your neighbor's house and they've begin to love it, and you're like, man, what is happening, right? It's us being Jesus in our worlds. Yeah. Amen. So good. Now, you've shared some incredible testimonies of the things God's done, Ernie. Some really cool highlights, but I'm guessing it doesn't always go this way. Have you had some disappointments in this space, and how do you navigate that when you've tried to be obedient or you have stepped out and
I talk like I'm not scared. But I'm very scared most of the time.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember the first time that I ever proclaimed the gospel. I was doing it at a Christmas service in Bunbury, and it was like thousands of people there. And I remember working the next week, and the thought, the voice in my head's like, everyone's gonna judge you. Everyone's gonna think that you're weird. Like, oh, they're gonna be embarrassed by you. And I remember that debilitated me.
Wow.
And now I remember that thought wasn't mine. That was the devil's thought. He was, and I have to learn to take those thoughts captive. And I would encourage you that when you step out in faith and fear comes against you, or when it doesn't work, because I should pray for heaps of people. And so I don't have like millions of testimonies. I'm getting way more now, but it doesn't always happen. I just come back to what the Father says about me, you know, like, and so I try and take every thought captive that isn't from the Lord, and then instead I meditate on what the Lord does to share. And I'd encourage you that's your real solution. Like, if you are scared or you're fearful or if it doesn't work, you know what? The other thing also is that it's not, I have a saying, like, take no glory, take no blame. Like, you know, like, I'm not the one who heals, just so you know. I know you might come and ask for prayer later for healing. I'm not the one who heals.
Yeah.
I don't get the glory if you do get healed, but I don't get the blame either. Like, the Lord is inviting me into this mystery moment.
Free.
Like,
yeah.
It's the glory of kings to hide a man. It's the glory of kings to search one out. So it's your divinity to live in uncertainty and to search out the matters of God, and then you'll be revealed as a king. That's it.
Wow. Come on. Can we thank Ernie? Incredible. Are you getting something out of this? Yeah? Man, Kevin, you're really passionate about shining Jesus everywhere you go, especially in your workplace. Can you share just one or two testimonies with us?
I'm too busy listening. So Just to explain my context, I think my space is I work in a major public hospital. So I think a lot of you who do work in government know that sharing your faith, talking about Jesus, praying for people is a no-no. And in my sphere, it's potentially a sackable offence. The other thing I'd like to say is what Ernie said, 100%. You hear us share stories. I will tell you right now, just to be real, usually if I think I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, my first answer is no. No. So, let me share with you about an Irishman and an Aussie Asian. Walk into a pub. No, not really. An Irishman and an Aussie Asian walk into a CT scan interventional room. And I'm telling this Irishman, this elderly Irishman, about how I do the procedure. And as I go through, this is typical for my process, I will explain the procedure, I will explain how I do it, I'll explain the risks, I'll explain the benefits. And then I say to just about every patient, unless it's an emergency and they're unconscious, I'll say to every patient, you know, what I do with the grace and gifting of God. And I know it sounds really strange, but I pray before every case. Wow. And this Irishman goes, that's amazing. And I go, okay, that's cool. Get a response like that about prayer. It's like, and he goes, oh, 3 days ago, I was getting my eyes checked, you know, like the optometrist. I said, okay. And he goes, young guy like you. I said, thank you. Yeah. And then he goes, in the middle of this, I'll take off my accent. In the middle of this optometrist checkup, this optometrist stops and says, can I pray for you?
Wow. That's it.
And this Irishman's telling me he prays for like 5 or 6 minutes. And now you. Now, a little bit of backstory. This very, very friendly, chatty gentleman had completely forgotten to turn up the month before for his procedure with us. He gets rebooked. He gets booked on my trainees list. He's so chatty, he forgets to fast. He turns up to hospital having not fasted, and then he gets put onto my list. Because we can't cancel him again, he's probably got a fairly serious cancer. So then I talk to him about God in the middle of this interventional room, the staff around me, just getting ready, you know, you done yet, Kevin? No, you need a couple more minutes. And they're setting up and getting ready, and I talk to him about his background, this story of... And I'm not having a go at anyone, but he was abused in school by priests and nuns, belted. And I said, you know, Jesus wasn't like that. You remember reading the Gospels? Yeah. I said, Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus partied with lepers and prostitutes. He partied with sinners. He wasn't like the people. And I'm sorry they didn't represent him to you. And let me tell you something. Jesus came down. All the other religions say do. You have to do. You have to earn your way in. Jesus came down and he said on the cross, it is finished. It's done. I get to share all this with him while my staff are standing up the room. And they're listening in.
Amazing.
And then he goes, yeah, you're right. So we do this procedure. It goes super smoothly. I finish the procedure, I go back out to talk to him. And he goes, you young Christians, you're amazing. I said, well, thank you for calling me young. But you know what's in common. Both of us follow Jesus. Mm. And he goes, that's amazing. I'm going to go and I'm going to tell my family about you and what happened today.
Wow.
Now, what are the odds, if you're a statistician, what are the odds of a guy missing his booking, getting rebooked, getting booked on the trainees list, getting transferred to my list. 3 days before that, he comes across a faith-filled optometrist who prays for him.
Amazing. So important that we play our part. So important that we play our part. Amazing.
This is verse that we are treasure in jars of clay.
Yeah.
To show that this all-surpassing greatness and power of God is not from us.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
Amazing. You know, you touched on before, just briefly, the risk of you actually stepping out, praying, sharing your faith with these patients and you know, obviously not crossing the lines between professional and personal, all that kind of thing. Why are you so willing to take this risk?
I'll answer that with another story.
Okay. Don't take too long, okay?
I know. I'm watching the clock. Real quick story. About 4 weeks ago, I had a Muslim patient come in, a lady in a hijab, and I talked to her, and I don't feel to hold back to say, you know what, I explained to her as I do the procedure, get the consent, and I say, you know, what I do with God's gift, with God's help, and I pray before every case. But before I actually said anything to her, I said, Assalamu alaikum, peace be on you. And she immediately goes, oh, are you Muslim? I said, no, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. So we're talking about the procedure. I finish the consent, and I say, can I pray for you? And I get to pray with this Muslim lady, and all the staff around me see what's happening. Now, I used to be really afraid of doing that. It's not, you know, I don't say this with confidence. I say, this is only what God can do, right? So this is other story that Jesus tells. He tells a parable of a master and a banquet. And he sends the servants out. Go out to the alleys, the rooms, the spaces, the workplaces, the schools, the shopping centres, the neighbourhood, and compel them to come because I want my house to be full. What makes me take the risk is that once upon a time, I was one of those. The word prodigal, from the story of the prodigal son, which translators call it the prodigal son, it's really the prodigal father, because prodigal means extravagantly reckless. My father came for me. I was the one. How could I not share that love with the people around me? If he's done so much for me, how can I not go after them? How can I not go side by side with my father who runs out on the streets? Because he cares and he wants them to come home. That's why I do it.
It's incredible. Can we honour Caven for that? Worship team, why don't you come join me? You can sense the presence of God here in this place, yeah? Why don't you cross this place? Why don't you just close your eyes? Oh, thank you, God. Lord, we invite you to come and minister into every one of our hearts right now in this place. The picture that God gave me as I was praying into today was where Elijah hands on the mantle to Elisha. And he says, what do you want? And Elisha says, I want a double portion of what you carry. And he lays his hands on him. And then Elijah goes and Elisha takes the mantle, takes the cloak of Elijah, and he hits the Jordan River and it parts just like it did for Elijah. And today I'm going to ask these guys to pray and to lay hands along with our prayer team. And I believe just like what the Lord has stirred in them and the convictions that they carry, that there'd be an impartation on each of you. That when you would then approach your workplace or you would approach your spheres of influence, that the ways would begin to open up, where it seemed like there's no ways, where it seemed like, how do I have a conversation, or I don't know how to step out. What does living by faith look like? I sense that as the Spirit of God comes upon you today, You're going to take steps of faith, which is swinging the coat, and God's going to begin to open up the Jordan River. That Jordan River was where Jesus was baptized, where the heavens opened, and I'm declaring an open heaven here. The Jordan River was where his people entered into the promised land, the promises of God, where they took down Jericho. And I'm believing that for you, that you would take the presence of God into your marketplace, into your Jerichos, and that his promises would come to pass. And so across this place, I just want to ask you to stand to your feet right now. And I want to extend a call, and I want to invite you to come forward if you're saying, I want to be anointed for my marketplace, my spheres of influence. I want a fresh pouring out of the Spirit of God. I want to overcome fear. I want to start playing my part, whether it's planting, whether it's watering, whatever it may be. I just want a fresh touch of God to be an impact in my spheres of influence, to carry what heaven has for me. Maybe it's that recognizing that, wow, hearts are open. I need to start stepping out. I need to start connecting and building relationship and loving on my colleagues. Maybe it's that divine nature that Ernie's talked about. This is what's accessible to us as his sons and daughters. Or maybe you just like came and you just say, God, I need you to break my heart again. Jesus, you save me. And so the love of Christ, I want it to compel me again. So across this place right now, why don't you just begin to step forwards? Why don't you come? I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring an impartation. And it's a coming forwards, just like Elisha did to Elijah. He came to him and said, I want this. I want a pouring out. I want a double portion of what you carry. I want to see your kingdom come through my life. So why don't you just begin to filter through? In a moment, I'm going to release our prayer teams and these guys to come and pray. And once you've been prayed for, I just ask you to move aside, because I believe there's lots of people going to come forwards. But Ernie, Kevin, would you pass the mic to Ernie? Ernie, I want to ask you to pray. And across this place, if you want to receive an impartation, why don't you lift your hands? And Ernie, I want you to go for it, man.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yes.
To proclaim good news to the poor.
Jesus.
To set the captives free. To see recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he sat down and he closed the book. That's it. That's what you were called to do. We proclaim that over you, church, today.
Yes.
I declare that you are the righteousness of Christ,
yes.
That you will do even greater things, that he, as he is in this world, so you are in this world. We declare the anointing and the power of the
yes.
Lord upon you. If you can't actually believe that, you need to come. Like, you need to lay that thought captive right now, that circular thought that's running in your head saying, it's not me, it's not my work, it's not, can't be done where I'm working, that's not how I'm going to live my life. The Lord has called you to show supernatural love, that love is patient, love is kind, love is patient, merciful, but it is also supernatural. That there needs to be a full expression of that to reveal the love of Christ. And so we declare right now, anointing to fall, the power of Jesus
yes.
to fall, for eyes to open, for unveiled eyes to see the hope of their calling, for the riches of their glory,
yes.
for the inheritance that
yes.
they have been called to as sons and daughters.
Thank you.
We speak life into this. We speak life into their workplaces. We speak prayer and meditation.
Yeah.
We speak inspiration over their workplaces. We speak open hearts
yes.
over these workplaces in
yes,
Jesus'
Lord.
Name. We speak for fruitfulness to flow from everything they put their hand to, that there will be trees of life in this community, that everything they put their hand to will be blessed. They would have many streams of supply as they reveal the love of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Ernie and Grant, would you guys go and just begin to lay hands? Prayer team, why don't you come to Cave? And I just want you to minister that heart. You know, so much of what you said wasn't even about what you said. It's how the Holy Spirit has just stirred in your heart to break for the lost. And I just ask that you will pray, and Holy Spirit, you'll come and break our hearts. Thank you, God.
I've got an image of an archery target, and I see arrows being fired and hitting the bullseye. And we're so worried about getting hurt or getting rejected or being laughed at, but the Lord wants your hearts to be broken this morning. He wants you to feel what He feels. He wants you to remember. He wants you to remember what it was like when you first gave your life to Him, when you first realized He came after you. So, Lord, would you break our hearts? Would you remind us how and why you came for us? Would you wash over us and remind us and show us the image right now of the Father running out, not caring about power and authority, not caring about how He looked, but He ran after the One. And would you show us how much you care? Would you show us, and would you invite us to come with you? Invite us to run alongside with you, to run after those who are so far from you, Lord, to snatch them from a life doomed to meaninglessness and ultimately a place that we don't ever want to be in eternity. And give us your heart to run. I just ask you to hold out your hands. And those of you who really want this, I just ask you to say, show me. Show me. And come and take my hand. Let the Lord take you. Let the Father take your hand and say, come with me. Come with me. Come with me down the alleys and come with me down the streets and come with me into the rooms. Come with me because I need you to help me bring my children home in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.